Welcome to Chapel on the Grid with Geneva College. We're here again doing our Chapel on the Grid, and our theme on Mondays is being a Geneva person in trying times. And what that really is focused on is the core values of Geneva. Our question this morning that I would like for you to think about with me is very practical. What's an academic burden that you're bearing right now? There's a range of things I've been hearing from students and faculty and staff who are bearing burdens because of COVID-19. Another question related to this I was asking of our student government officers when we met last week, and that's, what's a question that's come unbidden to you that's kind of under your skin under these circumstances? What's something that you're trying to figure out that you hadn't been asking yourself, but a question that's kind of come to you? These are important questions, and we have times like these that the Lord brings questions to mind that we need to ponder and consider. What he's doing, what's happening in the world, what does it mean for us and for our friends and family and loved ones? But I want to remind you that God has been preparing us for this. This is not something that has come as a surprise to the Lord. And he has been working in our lives in advance and will be working in us now because he's a God who cares for us when we have concerns and anxieties and take them to him. So we're right where we're supposed to be. And we also are remembering that it's in times of testing and times of trial that are prime times for learning, even when the conditions for learning might not be ideal in our estimation. So we're being tested at our core, and we're looking at our third core value at Geneva today, which is, with Christ as King and under Scripture, we foster academic strength. We foster academic strength. Today, we're going to be looking at a passage in Matthew 23, and leading up to this passage, the verses that we're going to read, Jesus is in conversation with the scribes and Pharisees. Now, he's in a public place, so there are many other people around, but he's talking specifically with the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes and the Pharisees are the academic experts of Jesus' day. They're the ones who have all been to the University of Jerusalem. They have studied and studied. They know how to read and write and study the scriptures and understand culture and history and many other things. These are the intelligentsia of Jesus' day, the scribes and the Pharisees. And he asked them this question right before our passage. He says, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" And they say, almost automatically, "The son of David." And then he asks a question based on Psalm 110, where he says, well, why then does David call him Lord? How can the Father call the Son his Lord? And they're pondering that question when we come to the passage we're about to read. Now, it's important to understand that this is the first question of academic strength, not just for Christians, but for the whole world. What are we to make of Jesus Christ? It's central to all human thought because Christ has imposed himself in history. He has come in to this world, and many, many people have to take him into account. Everyone needs to take him into account in one way or another, even if they're to reject him. So C.S. Lewis asked this question in a famous essay, "What are we to make of Jesus Christ?" And he ends the essay by saying, the real question is, what will Jesus Christ make of us? Charles Malik, who wrote a wonderful book called The Christian Critique of the University, asks the same question, what does the university think of Jesus Christ? And ends the book with the same kind of question. Ultimately, Christ will decide what he makes of the university and will judge us for our work. So the first question of all academic strength is the question that's asked to the scribes and the Pharisees here, and then later to Peter, who do you say that I am? What do you think of the Christ? And so with that, let's read our passage today from Matthew 23. The Matthew 23 passage is just one of the many places we could go in the scriptures that give us a good insight into what it means to foster academic strength. And so I'll be reading the first 12 verses of Matthew 23. Please listen as we read together. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So do and observe whatever they tell you, but not the works they do, for they preach, but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long, and they love the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one Father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." This is the word of God. And it's the word of God to us today because we need to hear this today. As we listen to this, a basic orientation to this is the well-known phrase, "practice what you preach." And that's not just a maxim that came out of nowhere. That comes right from the words of Christ. Practice what you preach, hear and do, word and deed, walk the talk. These are things that we're familiar with hearing. It's important for us to know that they emanate from the scriptures, from the word of Christ itself. Now, there are interesting nuances here that we need to pay attention. Jesus doesn't say they're not doing what they teach, and so you can discount what they say. Instead, he says this interesting thing. They sit in Moses' seat. They're in a chair of educational and spiritual authority. So you need to observe and do what they say. So there's authority. Now, Moses, the seat of Moses, represents the whole of the scripture in that day. It's the teaching, it's the chair of Moses, as we would say in university language today. And the person sitting in it, or the people sitting in that chair, are authorized because of the scripture, the word of God that has come to us through Moses. And in that day, that Moses represented the law and the prophets, the whole of the scripture. And so Jesus calls students, disciples, to listen to what these teachers are teaching, that they're supposed to be learning, and then they're supposed to be teaching. They're supposed to practice and observe what's been taught, but not what they do. Well, Jesus goes on to explain why we're not supposed to do what the scribes and the Pharisees do. And this takes us to our second main heading, which is the world's academic strength. And the world's academic strength, at its best, provides double standards. Unfortunately, we have to align ourselves with the world's academic strength, because in the world's academic strength, we find our own temptations. The scripture knows us. The Lord knows what tempts us. And what tempts us is not fundamentally different than what tempts people who are not walking with Christ. So what are the temptations we face? Especially, what are the temptations we face when pursuing academic strength? Well, one, we impose double standards. It's unsurprising to hear the Pharisees and the scribes called hypocrites. What's difficult is to recognize that all of us are hypocrites at a serious level, at a sinful level. All of us face this temptation to say one thing and do another. Even parents sometimes tell their children, do what I say, not what I've done. Do what I'm saying, not what I'm doing. And this is no way to teach in Christ. It's a double standard. And then there's descriptions of the temptations that face us in academic pursuits. We love to make judgments by appearances, and therefore we pay too much attention to the appearances of knowledge, the appearances of wisdom, the appearances of learning. We love honor. There's a reason what we call the song that is played most commonly at commencement, Pomp and Circumstance, right? This is the nature of the academy. This is academic strength. A major temptation is our love of honor. We love to be highly respected. We love to have places of honor. These are things that are not unique to people in the academic pursuit, but they're instituted in certain ways among people who are highly educated, highly regarded thinkers in the world. That leads to something that tempts people who are pursuing academic strength that I call pontificating. And so this is a brief confession on pontificating. You could ask Mrs. Trout, and she could tell you when I lapse into pontificating. You could talk to my children. You could talk to my students in interpersonal communication right now. Occasionally, I lapse. I never plan to pontificate. It comes naturally to those of us in academic pursuits, and we apologize for that, because as Christians, that's something we should never plan to do. Nevertheless, it demonstrates the real temptation of being a highly educated person who has studied and invested a lot of energy and time into these kinds of things. We find those temptations afflicting us. But pontificating is always half-hearted. It's always half-hearted. And so whether we're reading A Critique of the University by Malick, or whether we're reading a book that some of you may have heard of called The Outrageous Idea of Christian Scholarship by George Marsden, it's easy to document this kind of temptation playing out in the half-heartedness of the most excellent forms of academic pursuit and accomplishment today. It's as simple as us as students who love to get good grades on tests being more concerned about the grade on the test than the learning in the subject. And all of us have fallen prey to that to some degree or another who have been pursuing academic excellence. But there's good news in Jesus' message in Matthew 23. And the good news comes at the major pivot point for us in the middle of the chapter, where he says, but you are not to be called rabbi. He changes the game right in the middle. He provides the escape route from temptation for us in saying this, but you are not to be called rabbi. And so as we pursue academic strength, as we foster academic strength at Geneva College, we do it and can do it only in Christ. Academic strength is to be found in Christ alone. He says, there is one teacher, there is one father, there is one instructor, and he is Christ. We do all of our learning, all of our research, all of our study, all of our practice under him. And then he explains the basic coordinates for fostering academic strength under him. And one of them harmonizes with our first core value, service with grace. Every aspect of fostering academic strength has to be an act of service. That's why at Geneva, we talk about our work as a ministry of education. Ministry is a synonym for service and worship. And so we are working before the Lord, serving him and others in everything about how we do our academic work. The second basic coordinate calls us to humble ourselves. It's an act of humility we're to commit as we're fostering academic strength. And what this results in is the reality that all academic strength grows out of intellectual humility. I have had the privilege of meeting world-renowned scholars in my life. And the one thing that is common among them is this intensity of humility. They're quick to mention the people from whom they learned. They're quick to acknowledge the people who are helping them learn today. They're quick to give gratitude to people who have poured their lives into these people as scholars. They don't pretend that they're not brilliant. They just put their focus of attention on other things and serve through their brilliance. So as we think of these basic coordinates, we always come back to one place. There is one teacher. And the Father says of this teacher, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Listen to him. And so here's a sample assignment. There are assignments all over Scripture from Jesus. Here's a sample assignment from Matthew chapter 9 and verse 13. Jesus says this, "Go and learn what this means." I mean, very straightforward assignment to the disciples. "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. That is a big assignment. It's simple, but it's a big assignment. It forces us into the whole of the Scripture. What does God mean by mercy? What's involved in the sacrificial system, in the sacrifice of Christ, in the sacrifices that are commanded? This is a stunning question. This is a difficult question, but it's a fruitful question for us to pursue, and we'll need a lot of knowledge. At the time Jesus asked it, that meant go learn Hebrew if you don't know it. Go learn Greek if you don't know it. Go and learn all about these cultures that span thousands of years, so that you can understand these texts, so that you can answer the question at its greatest depth, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. When we think about the seal of Geneva College, and we think about the critical components of the seal, not the college's name, but the name of Christ, and the name of Christ under his word. So as we pursue things, we pursue them with Christ as King, pro Christo et Patria, under the Scriptures. And what we're doing is what a Dutch theologian by the name of Herman Bovink says in a recently republished book on Christian worldview. He says this, "The thought world of Scripture is no longer embedded in our ways of thinking." The thought world of Scripture is no longer embedded in our ways of thinking. What this means is that fostering academic strength at Geneva College begins by fostering the thought world of Scripture as our way of thought about all of life, all of thought, all of practice. We want the thought world of Scripture in word and deed to propel everything educational at Geneva College. God has prepared us for this time. He's prepared us for this moment, and He's prepared us for this question. What do you make of the Christ? What do you think of the Christ? Who do you say that I am? And we respond at Geneva College, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus says to us, and says to us in this very moment, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Let's ask for his help together. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one teacher that you have supplied for us. And we pray that you will grant us what you ask us to do, that we might love you with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our strength and with all our mind. We ask that you would accomplish this in us through Christ in this moment, as we struggle under burdens we hadn't anticipated and face tests and trials that are new not only to us, but to the world in this magnitude and scale. And so we pray for your help, that we might find rest in you as we work. We ask these things in the name of Christ. Amen. Okay, we're going to need you to sing with us again this morning. Let's sing together.
Praise the Lord. All you nations, extol him. All you peoples, for great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever.
Have a great day.